Get ready for an uplifting experience with Coached Soul. Join us as we bring you the dynamic duo of Steve Hudgens, a licensed professional counselor, and Kenya Evelyn, a transformational leadership coach. Together, they'll guide you through engaging episodes filled with valuable insights and actionable tips on mental health, relationships, self-care, emotional well-being, and personal growth. Coached Soul is your go-to podcast for empowering discussions that will help you thrive. So let's get started and welcome our hosts, Steve and Kenya.
Hey, welcome back to Coach Soul. I mean, last time we were talking about programming and no pun intended, welcome back to our programming.
Right? Our program. But our program is about having a voice and explore different concepts. So I am so good with this program that I offer for my to my family as well. Like, hey, what do you want to talk about? And All topics are in the table.
Right. This is a programming that you want to stay tuned in and subscribe to YouTube, Podbean, iTunes, all these other platforms for podcasts. We're out there. And we would love for you to subscribe to our channel because we're human beings that have gone through life experience. And one of the things that we talked about last week was programming. And this week, we want to talk a little bit about how do we get out of it? You know, how do we stop allowing fear to get in touch with us? And so I'll start off with this illustration, Kenya.
It's actually the word you use is feeling stuck.
Yes, feeling stuck. Mm-hmm. How do we get out of being stuck in the mud, so to speak? So when I made the transition from being an engineer into being the mental health therapist, currently working on my doctorates, I was fearful of getting into my doctorates because I thought 500 word pages or whatever for a dissertation. No, my dissertation is going to probably be about 120 something pages.
Wow.
So, and that's with the fluff. So a lot of times when we think about, we stop ourselves because what we see. And what I mean by that is I've always grown up into a W-2 world. I started off, my first job was a newspaper, throwing newspapers when I was living in Japan on the base. We did newspapers when I came back. I was 18. And I was an assistant night manager for a grocery store in Midwest City, Oklahoma. So I grew up into the industry of a W-2 form. So now here I am years later, transferring into a different career field. I start working for an inpatient facility and ended up as a director before the hospital closed. And I'm thinking, the hospital's closing. I just got through done having cancer surgery, being removed and being cancer free now for 5.5 years. It's not coming back according to research. And then when I think about, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay myself? I'm out of a job. I got to find a job. And it's funny because I started working on what is it that I need to do to be proactive. Phone call rings. All right, God, you're funny because he says here. And COVID provided me a way of cashing in on the stock market because I bought low and sold out high. And I leased a building, put furniture in it from the cash proceeds from the stocks. And now I'm a private practice clinician. And the only way I did this was to get unstuck of fearing the unknown. How do you know how to get out of the programming and step into something that's great? What do you think, Kenya?
I'm thinking so many things. First of all, the perception of the label you're giving to the situation makes it more real. So when I say I feel stuck, it's like my feet glues in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what to do to get out of this stuckness. You get even more stuck. So my intention here is to give you guys the ability to really expand your consciousness for possibility. You are programming yourself with your words. Mm. That's the number one thing. So if you say, I feel a little bit off, and you go outside and you ground until you feel better, so you feel recharged. We have a podcast about that before. You know, we use the word recharge. So yeah, I got to take a nap and recharge, or no, you know, we are charged beings. Mm-hmm. And I double, triple dog dare you if those moments come when you're completely fill up. They don't. you get a hint of depression, you get a hint of stuckness, you get a hint of anxiety when you're depleted. That's the number one thing I'm going to tell my listeners.
It's like waking up and we take that breath in and it's like, oh my gosh.
Did you even rest it?
Right.
I'm not talking about to go back to bed and sleep. I'm talking about actual recharge. What is the recharging I'm talking about is body, soul, and spirit. It's the charging of truth, the charging of love. Like our conversations charge me up. Do you feel it?
Of course, because every time we talk.
We speak life into it. So who are you? Who do you have around you to speak life? Or you already wake up a little bit off and then you call and Carol and tell her everything that you feel wrong about your life. Is that going to charge you up?
No, it makes it depressing sometimes.
That's what we call trauma bonded.
Yes.
That's what we call a trauma bonded. And Carol might be, oh, girl, let me tell you, your mother went through that. That runs in the family. It's depression. You should go to a doctor. I was like, I love Aunt Carol, but Aunt Carol needs to not say a word. So back to how to be unstuck. Are you really unstuck? Or you're spinning?
Or is it the illusion that you give yourself that you are stuck?
Exactly. Is the illusion, the spinning, the not grounded, is the opposite of being in your own frequency. Because let me tell you, the picture, we like visuals, right? The picture of being your own frequency is a toddler learning to walk and just their eyes. It's not even they cannot walk at all. It's the funniest thing. They keep falling. But their eyes are like, oh, did you see that? I actually grabbed that. OMG. And that energy is who we are at every season if we allow to it. The illusion that you are stuck actually means that I actually lost my passion. That I am going to hang with you. I can hang out and have a passion conversation with you, how to rekindle your passion, because you cannot be stuck in your passion. I tell you that right now. You can't. It's impossible. I'm disconnected from my spirit. I feel like I'm going through motions. I feel depleted. I feel hypnotic. I don't know what the point about this life is. I can have a conversation, but that's not being stuck. That is actually your soul calling you back home. That is my work, Steve. What I just described, it's what I do in my masterminds. It's what I do on the membership that I'm just about to launch. This is what I do, which is really, it almost feels like miracles and magic, but it's not. It's the reflection of, hey, that is your body and your soul giving you all the signals that you're off the road. It's the and the bump when you run out of the street. It doesn't mean you are in need of meds. Some people are, don't get me wrong, but those are signs. Those are caring signs. Hey, look at over here.
But how often do we rely on outside resources to help us to get out of the funk that we're in of being stuck? You know, when I think about where I was at, you know, that I call myself a warrior.
Yes.
A survivor.
Yes.
An overcomer.
Yes.
And I use that as tools to fight back when I feel there's an injustice that's been done. Mm-hmm. Because you can be, you got to be an advocate for your health, an advocate for yourself.
You got to be an advocate for truth, period.
Exactly. And so one of the grounding things that I think we can talk about in this segment, because we talked about programming and how it can just suck us in. And we didn't touch base very much in that episode. And that's what I want to talk about in this episode, more of the grounding of self.
Yes.
Is the reality of truth. Now, one of the things that I do with some of my clients who are depressed, okay, I meet my clients where they are at. Now, yes. I'm faith-based, okay? That doesn't mean that I'm invoking my faith into therapy. I just meet my clients where they're at. So if I have a person that says, I'm not worthy, okay? Now, my faith-based mind goes into a scripture that says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Now, I also know another piece of scripture says Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to take Christ out and put truth in. I still have not changed that verbiage. So when we think about captivate every thought, make it obedient to the truth, what does that look like? And so when my clients say that I feel worthless or I'm worthless, I said, okay, let's take this thought captive. Let's make it obedient to the truth so we can get our unstuck out of this programming that we've been in. Well, when I say captivate, what does that look like? It's like a zoo. We captured animals to put it in an environment that works suitable for them, but for us to enjoy observation of the animal and what it does in its own environment. My favorite one is I love bears and I like lions. And, you know, when I think about that, I'm watching their environment. Now, how do I capture it? It's in a zoo. How do I make it obedient? Now, my dog is a half Husky, half German Shepherd, the smartest, intelligent dog that I've ever met, because it took me 3 minutes to do this. I did a scissors out of my hand and I would bark and I would tell him to whisper and then do the sign of a soft bark with my fingers. I gave him a treat when he did it and reinforced that behavior. He became obedient to my scissors. And so now I can point up to the sky. He'll sit. I can point down to the ground. He'll lay down. I'll put my palm out. He'll shake. You know, and then the scissors, he'll bark for his treat, but it's a soft whisper inside the house. That's how you train something to be obedient. Now, what is truth? That's a little harder to define what truth is, but we can say what is truth. So often I tell my clients who believe.
Is it really hard to define? Because it feels like there's an inner alignment that it's like, I don't know what you just said, but something resonates.
Okay, that's truth. And that's what
you
I was
looking
for.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you can have different language. You can have literally different Portuguese, Spanish, English, in different lines of thoughts and different belief system, but truth will always resonate.
So living in Oklahoma, we consider it the Bible Belt. So majority of people here are believers. Whether they go to church or not, that's a different story. Don't want to go there. Where I'm going with is we take the thought worthless, captivated in its zoo. Now we're going to make obedient to the truth. You just shared you are worthless. And whose image are you created in? My creator. So are you saying your creator is now worthless because you deem yourself worthless? So we capture this thought and we help it to be obedient. That I'm created by a creator who is not worthless. So I'm not worthless. We may feel like it, but that's the illusion that we give ourselves because we feel. Now, how do we get to the emotion of grounding to not feel worthless? How do we get to the truth?
Yeah. I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. Sure. I am 3-generation Christian, so I know all the lingo. And that didn't work for me.
Right.
Exactly what you just said. It didn't work at all. I heard this my entire life. You're creating his image and you're wonderfully and beautifully made. Da, 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 da. And I still felt not enough.
Okay.
And I still felt not worthy. Now, I didn't know growing up that those were the feelings, but my behavior, my lack of self-love and self-esteem and self-confidence really, really showed that I didn't love myself. And let me tell you where I'm getting here. One can say ABC about Jesus, God, church, whatever, and prove in the Bible. You might believe in the Bible, you might not believe in about. It's still words. Now, the frequency of the word is high. So it might land in your spirit through the interpretation of the, through the translation of the Holy Spirit in a way that will be magnificent and miraculously, but you still get to receive. And you still, and by receive, I don't mean hear. I mean, it shows up in the evidence that your human wants. Like, I understand with my mind, but I have seen so much evidence of being a doormat. I have created so much evidence of people mistreating me, of being abused, or and I'm here, Steve, just giving you very broad examples, but it could be we are always creating evidence of the things we believe consciously or subconsciously. So my nugget here is that if you truly want to embrace the belief that you are the masterpiece that God says you are, that you are the masterpiece that I am telling you are, that Steve tells you you are, now you get to create the evidence. And the evidence number one is you look yourself in the mirror and receive it. I get to receive that I am. What is a masterpiece? Define the word masterpiece. A work of art. Mm-hmm. Impeccable. Worth millions of dollars in a material world.
Like, you know, that's funny you say Monet. That. Because when I look at Picasso's painting, it's all jumbled. And yes, for me, and I don't see a masterpiece.
So, Steve, I love that you said that.
Yeah.
Because other people don't need to see you as masterpiece.
Correct. There we go. That's where I was alluding
to. Other piece does not at all. I'm teaching art in our homeschool tutorial. You know, I homeschool my three kids. And last week was Picasso, and that was the entire sentiment. How can this be art?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Like, the four-year-olds do a better job kind of thing, you know? And no, but Picasso, actually Picasso's background, he was an incredible painter.
Yes.
His father was an incredible, so he knew all the techniques. It's just that he knew it so well that he went out of the box and he made it his own. But at any time that he wanted to come back and create something that looked realistic and acceptable for the moment, I mean, what a rebel. What an amazing person. Can you imagine the amount of confidence of Picasso to say, let me show you what I think art is? The amount of criticism. And now we're worship him in the sense of, wow, he gave us permission to be different. And still be a work of art.
At the same time, it's us giving ourselves permission.
That's my point.
To be different.
Look yourself in the mirror, and as you are, with your teeth, just the way you are, with your hair, without, you know, I gotta get my highlights. I know. But as it is, can you just be in full acceptance as it is? And still going. Explore and explode potentiality. But if you are thinking that you're going to be great at when X happened, I'm going to be happy if and when I hate to burst your bubble, you're not. You keep chasing the next thing, the next husband, the next dress, the next woman, the next therapist, the next course. You know how many people buy courses? I used to be one of them. You know, maybe the next course we'll do. No, we won't. Because it's you, babe. It's you. It has always been you. Embrace you as absolutely incredible as you are. You're not stuck unless you say you are. Those are expired codes.
Well, and some of that coding comes in from being in the environment, toxic environment. You know,
and maybe it's generational.
And that too.
Generational.
Right.
So if you hear this, here's my invitation. If you're hearing and listening to this, this is your calling to stand up for your generations and shift and be the Picasso. Do things different and create your own definition of masterpiece.
You know, one of the things when I hear about that, we think about externalisms of, well, here's this person. All right, we'll take me for an example. I chose to get out of the toxicity and the dysfunctional of my bio parents' realm of their world. But when somebody comes to date me, why don't you have a relationship with your parents? Because it's kind of toxic. Well, then I don't want to date you because you don't have a relationship with your parents.
Then she's not your person, babe.
Exactly.
She's not your person because you're not going to bow down to somebody else's perceptions of
and that's where you need to find the truth and stay grounded. Be careful allowing the needs and the wants to dictate who you are. And so
I want to make a note to the word belonging, because what I really heard here is this fascinating experience. I have spent the first part of my life really not knowing where to belong. And until recently, I'm in my 40s now, until recently, I still was in grief, you know, when I let go of the label of the denomination I grew. I mean, it was like, but then where do I belong? And then, you know, you have a bestie, or at least I thought I had a bestie. And the next thing I know, you know, she's not my bestie. She's doing her, and that's fine. And am I okay with people coming and going to my life without self beat up of why did I do wrong or what's happening here? When would I choose me? That was the question. When would I see me as whole and complete the way God sees me? Or am I still waiting for outside validation of my beauty, my creativity, my gifts?
That's the key word right there, on validation. You know, I'm not trying to say I'm ditching my parents or putting them down or the dysfunction. But, you know, I realize that I do have a love for my parents.
Yes.
And, you know, I do see my father trying to have a relationship, but our relationship was sabotaged through another means. But here's where I'm going to go with this. What do we value? I still value them. I love them. But it's difficult to try to have a relationship when it's one-sided. So are we, when we in our value, are we expecting someone to make the change, or can we just accept them for who they are and allow 100%. Them to be? And that's where you found the value, is through acceptance, not only of yourself, but of the person. Just because there's differences of opinion doesn't mean we got to stop valuing that person.
Well, you can't really offer anything you don't have. Let's start there. So obviously, the self-validation is what my internal guidance system, my IGS is saying is the truth. Is you trusting that intuition, your nervous system feedback, the Holy Spirit in you, all of it as the truth, and really love it. Oh my gosh, did she say love it? I did. Accept it and love it. Because that is your soul and solemn truth. That is your sovereignty. That is your free will. That is the expression of the free will. Now, if I spend 5 minutes with you, Steve, forget 2 minutes with you. I know you have a great heart. So actually, when you say, I don't have a relationship with my parents, what it lands for me is, wow, I honor that, because I know that your choice would have been to have a great relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Because I'm sensing your spirit. I'm not even talking about where you have been or been a mental health practitioner, none of that. I'm sensing your open heart. And that speaks value about what kind of boxes you decide to blow open because you came from them. How do I know that? Because I blew some boxes too. So I'm feeling a resonance here. And, you know, I couldn't tell you that I had a great relationship with my mom until recently. I really couldn't, because I was healing.
Yes.
And in my process of healing, even her voice would trigger. Right. And I know, and then I would feel bad to judge her because I know in my head that she did the best she could, that she loved me in her own way. And I accept that. But my little girl was still hurt. So I'm saying that to honor you and to honor your listeners that might be going through the same thing. We're not telling you to ditch anybody. I am telling you to validate you.
And always be open-minded of how to reconcile. We got about five more minutes left. And when I say about being open-minded,
yes,
reconciliation can be easy or difficult depending on how you want to view it. And there was a client that I remember that some incident happened. And because the reconciliation didn't happen between the parents and this client, the parent passed away.
Oh, wow.
And the client developed seizures because there was no out of language. So as we did this EMDR session.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He came to the client came to realize, oh my gosh, my parent really loved me.
Yes.
When we come to the truth, it helps opens the door, and the client stopped having seizures afterwards. It's, are we going to be open-minded to ground ourselves in truth and love? Yeah. And be careful of not being programmed.
Well, I love that story so much because here's the thing. There is no way for a child to not be programmed. We're always being programmed. What there is a way is to deprogram and to take control of the codes as you see as expired and really step into the sovereignty of being, you know what? I have free will. I do not need to be in reaction in this program. Once you notice the program, I do want to speak about your client. Here's the thing. I see it 10 out of 10 in my clients. If they don't feel loved and supported by their parents, they will not love themselves.
Correct.
That's it. So is it bad? Is it wrong? No, I'm not here to create duality. I'm just reflecting to you that a child is looking at the parents. Tell me if I'm loved. Tell me that I'm worthy. Tell me that I'll be okay. And I have a client right now, and he was going through this experience where a lot of beating growing up. But then when his mommy would tuck him in, it was all love and smoochies. And the code that he got is love hurts. Let that land. By the way, I got the same code. Until I was 12, I would be beaten every day. And probably half of them, I really deserve it, but half of them was just maybe frustration of my mom or because I was not listening, but maybe not necessarily be bitten by, you know, twigs. And then she would want to pray with me and ask forgiveness to God and all the things. And I'm like, man, God is into this too? Like, what the heck? and then we have this misconception of what love is.
Mm-hmm.
So 100% of our listeners are adults. Let me tell you this, dear ones. You are called to repair on your child because those people, those amazing people, your parents, they were doing their best, even if it looked ugly. That was actually their best.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because when I nearly died, right, my mom didn't call me. She texted, but never checked in on me to see how I was doing. So I received this letter Oh, 3 days prior to my birthday. I thought, oh, cool. Mom finally sent me a birthday card. It was a typewritten front and back, 4-page written letter of
My gosh.
how bad of a son I am. And I texted and I said, you know, Mom, I received your letter of anger. I apologize that you're angry. I do love you. I hold no ill will. She says, I knew that you would receive the letter out of anger. My wise therapist told me you would do this instead of receiving out of love. And, you know, when I think about this, it's that if I didn't have a healthy sense of love of who I am and love who I am,
That
I've
letter.
gone through that healing, that letter would have destroyed me. I didn't react out of unkindness to her. I said, Mom, sign a release of information. Let me talk to your therapist and you, and let's find some healing.
Beautiful.
And I'm blocked, and she has not reached out to me in 2 years. And I've tried to reach out to her, but she's got me blocked. So, you know, sometimes we just have to accept people for where they are
Yeah.
and who they are and stop expecting them to be where you need them to be. So,
You know, the reflection that's coming to me, Steve, is that maybe they are your parents, so you could accept you just the way you are
True. And that's
without that
exactly how I
reflection.
look at it.
Because you don't have their reflection to say, good job, babe.
You
Probably
know,
never
that
had.
try to make reconciliation.
And now look at you. Now you get to help hundreds and possibly thousands of people transforming in my vocabulary, alchemizing this pain into the abundance of service and love. And
And that's the
I
whole
signed
purpose.
I signed that title with you with Coach It So. That listeners, as you are connecting with our stories, we're just two humans just like you that took a stand to be better and to influence others in their greatness. That we see you as the bright light that you are, and you get to see yourself because we can only say the same thing so many times.
So much
You get
true.
to decide to see yourself as the beauty and the masterpiece that you are. When is now a good time?
And unfortunately, we're going to let this podcast end. And
Let it
now
be
is the
now.
time for you to
Let it be
reflect.
now.
Until next time, take care.
Love you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Coached Soul, where we aim to empower and uplift you on your journey towards personal growth and well-being. Remember, as you navigate through life, you don't have to do it alone. We encourage you to reach out to professionals, seek support from loved ones, and take the time to prioritize your own well-being. Stay tuned for future episodes filled with even more valuable insights and actionable tips. Remember, you have the power to thrive. And with Coach It Soul by your side, anything is possible. Until next time, take care, stay empowered, and keep shining your brightest light. For more information, contact Kenya at kenyacoachedsoul.com.